First of all, anti-government protesters continued their campaign against unpopular President Ali Abdullah Saleh on the streets of the Yemeni capital Sana'a on Wednesday, with protesters calling for him to face trial. Saleh had reportedly claimed he was willing to resign on the condition of his immunity from prosecution. Thousands marched through the streets in what appeared to be mostly peaceful protests following a fortnight of escalated violence against demonstrators that coincided with Saleh's controversial return to the country, which was after 3 months in neighboring Saudi Arabia. The crowds also warned against any attempts by Saleh to play one of his children in senior positions if he eventually steps aside. Similar protests were also held in the southern city of Taiz. More than 170 protesters have been killed in the capital since last Sunday. And in other news, Yemeni tribesmen say they shot down a military jet on Wednesday over rocky terrain north of the capital, Sana'a. And in Bahrain, thousands have taken to the streets across the country to protest against the government's brutal crackdown on female pro-democracy protesters. The demonstrators also denounced last weekend's parliamentary by-elections to fill the 18th seat abandoned by opposition lawmakers as a sham. The protesters created massive traffic jams in the capital, Manama, for the third consecutive day. Saudi-backed Bahraini forces arrested 45 women on Friday, a day before the by-elections, for chanting anti-regime slogans in a shopping mall in the capital. According to Amnesty International, the women, including seven minors aged 12 and 15, had been tortured and denied legal representation. And now in Libya, fighting continued on the eastern and western parts of the Libyan city of Sirte on Wednesday as the revolutionary forces tried to take the city's airport. As the fighting continues, humanitarian organizations are sounding the alarm about the possibility of civilian casualties in the town. Thousands of civilians are streaming out of Sirte, where NATO airstrikes are looming civilian casualties. Doctors in the encircled city say many war wounded have been brought for treatment, but the hospitals lack basic medicines. The water and electricity shortages were also affecting the general population. According to military officials, fugitive former Libyan President Muammar Gaddafi is believed to be hiding out near the Algerian border, where he is shielded by tribesmen. Fighters also say two sons of Gaddafi are holed up in the city and are still besieged by the revolutionary forces in the North African nation. Hundreds of school children protested in an anti-U.S. rally in Pakistan's biggest city of Karachi on Wednesday in a display of growing anti-U.S. sentiments in the country. The protesters chanted anti-U.S. slogans such as "Down with the U.S." The demonstrations came after U.S. outgoing chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, described the Haqqani Network as a veritable arm of Pakistan's ISI spy agency. He also accused Islamabad of providing support for the group's September 13 attack on the U.S. embassy in Kabul. The remarks caused widespread outrage in Pakistan, where the United States is believed to be the main problem. Prime Minister Yousaf Reza Gilani on Tuesday warned the United States to stop blaming it for its own failures in Afghanistan and Pakistan. He added that any unilateral military action by the United States to hunt down militants of the Haqqani network inside Pakistan would be a violation of his country's sovereignty. China on Wednesday said it opposes the Zionist regime's decision to construct 1,100 more settlement homes on occupied lands in the West Bank, saying it complicated global efforts to renew peace talks. The new homes are to be built on lands which were occupied in the West Bank in 1967.
China regrets and opposes Israel's decision to approve expansion of Jewish settlements. At present, the peace talks between Palestine and Israel are at a standstill. The international community is promoting the reopening of negotiations between Palestinian and Israel. And a political solution to the Palestinian-Israel situation could not be found if Israel continues with such plans.
Five soldiers with the U.S.-led forces have been killed in militant attacks across Afghanistan. One of the soldiers has been reported to be from New Zealand. He is the third New Zealander to be killed in Afghanistan so far this year. New Zealand has about 40 soldiers stationed in the Afghan capital of Kabul and was scheduled to end its Afghanistan mission in March 2012. Nearly 10 years after the U.S.-led military invasion of Afghanistan, the war-ravaged country continues to be one of the least secure areas of the world, despite the presence of about 150,000 American and NATO troops. Terrorism and narcotics production have also climbed in the country drastically since the U.S.-led occupation. On the sidelines of the 66th annual meeting of the UN General Assembly, foreign ministers of Iran and Belarus consulted on issues of mutual interest. In the meeting, Iran's Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi referred to the good political relations between the two countries and underlined that bilateral economic ties should also be promoted accordingly. Salehi added that interests and commonalities of Iran and Belarus, as well as Iran's geographical situation and capacities in the fields of energy, transportation, science, and industry, are appropriate grounds for expansion of ties. Belarus Foreign Minister Sergei Martinov, for his part, described existing political relations as excellent and added that independent viewpoints of both countries have caused proximity of political views. He said the two countries are also complement to each other's economically. And now Iran's interior minister has reportedly traveled to Pakistan.
That's right. Iran's interior minister says Iran and Pakistan are two influential Muslim countries in the region. In a meeting with his Pakistani counterpart, Rahman Malik, in Islamabad, Mustafa Muhammad Najjar said Iran and Pakistan could bolster bilateral cooperation with the purpose of resolving regional woes. The Iranian minister has also expressed the Islamic Republic's readiness to help Pakistan make development in various fields. Muhammad Najjar also noted that Iran is ready to take any measures to help Pakistani officials restore national security.
On behalf of the government of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I have come here to announce to my Pakistani brothers that Pakistan is not alone. Any insecurity in the region is to the disadvantage of all regional countries. We will take any measure in order to provide security for Pakistan and Iran.
The Pakistani minister, for his part, lauded Iran's positive efforts in line with Pakistan's progress and called for strengthening cooperation with Tehran in all fields, including economic cooperation.
And of course, we will discuss a number of bilateral issues. Foremost is, of course, border management. These have been eradicated with the efforts of my dear brother. And of course, what we need is friendship. What we need, brotherhood. And that exists between us.
Greek workers as well as police officers strike in the capital city of Athens as the members of parliament gather to vote for a new controversial tax. Thousands of protesters gathered outside of parliament expressing their anger at lawmakers. The police officers who also came to the streets protested on their pay day against the government's austerity measures. The policemen left their belts to their colleagues who were guarding the parliament in a symbolic move and handed a resolution along with their demands to the president of the parliament. Elsewhere, Greek owners and drivers of taxi cabs also surrounded the Ministry of Transport as they began a 48-hour strike over government plans to open their profession to competition. The Greek government hopes to convince its creditors in the European Union of its new austerity measures so that Greece would not go bankrupt by mid-October. A new report released by the U.S. government reveals that poverty rate in the country is on the rise as Washington continues to struggle with persisting economic woes. The report released by the Joint Economic Committee also shows that national average of household income fell for the third consecutive year in 2010, with typical household earnings declining by 6.4%. Experts say the rising poverty rate in the United States is the result of a persisting recession and a weak labor market. While the number of those living in poverty has grown disproportionately in the country, Americans fear that the worst is yet to come. Now let's shift gears to sports. Iran qualified for the final round of the Asian Senior Men's Volleyball Championships on Wednesday. The Persian outfit outclassed the powerful South Koreans 3-1 to face China in the finals. Bahrain and Scott earlier overcame Sri Lanka on Tuesday in straight sets at Tehran's Azadi Hall. The Iranian team had also defeated Afghanistan, Chinese Taipei, India, Pakistan, and Japan without losing a set in the competitions. South Korea would now face Australia to fight for third place. Over the years, only six teams, namely Japan, South Korea, China, Australia, Iran, and Kazakhstan, have succeeded to win the Asian Senior Men's Volleyball Championships. Samsung Blue Wings of South Korea came back from a goal down to defeat Iran Zobahan 2-1 and 3-2 on aggregate in Isfahan on Wednesday to progress to the semifinals of the Asian Champions League. The teams came into the match level after a one-up draw in the first leg in South Korea on September 14. In another match, Asad became the first Qatari club to reach the Asian Champions League semifinals despite losing 2-1 in the second leg of its quarterfinal to Iran's Sepahan. The Iranian team won the home leg 1-0, but was penalized for fielding an ineligible player, and Asad was given a 3-0 victory. The Qatar club now faces the Swan Blue Wings of South Korea in the semifinals. And to wrap up, here's the world in brief.
212 Iranian lawmakers in a statement on Wednesday called on the United Nations to send a delegation to Yemen and Bahrain to investigate the situation in these two countries. They said in their statement that the killings of the innocent people in the two countries, given Saudi Arabia's role in it, signify the weakness of these countries' governments. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has called for the escalation of diplomatic efforts and the resumption of talks to settle the dispute over Iran's civilian nuclear program. He has stressed that resolving nuclear disputes through negotiations would have strengthened the international non-proliferation regime. Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan on Wednesday strongly criticized the double standard policies of the United Nations in imposing sanctions against the Islamic Republic of Iran. He also criticized the UN silence on inhumane behavior of many other countries. Iranian Navy rescued a Russian ship from the clutches of the pirates in the Gulf of Aden. So far, 1,300 vessels have been escorted by Iran's Navy forces dispatched to the region. The head of the European Commission warned that the EU could face the biggest crisis in its history amid the struggles to contain a sovereign debt crisis that is threatening the euro's survival. José Manuel Barroso also proposed the development of a controversial financial transaction tax and the creation of eurobonds to fix the eurozone economic crisis. At least 14 people have been killed and 25 others were wounded after a powerful explosion ripped through the war streak in Somali capital of Mogadishu. Over 80 foreign media people will take part in the 5th International Digital Media Exhibition, which will be held in Tehran from October 6 through 15. And finally, a night of stormy weather and heavy rainfalls left parts of Richmond in the U.S. state of Virginia underwater early Wednesday morning. The rainfall also trapped some residents in their own homes.
And with that, we come to a wrap of the late edition of IRI and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.
Goodbye.